So now that we maybe recall our initial examples for attribute systems that stem from the specification of the lexical phase of our compiler, we can try to recall the crucial things in finding an implementation for computing these attributes. Yeah, so there were several components. For once, we would attach an attribute that we call empty to each node of the syntax tree, and then we would compute the first traversal on the syntax tree, where in post-order traversal we would perform actions that do actual computations. And depending on the kind of the node that we pass, we would perform certain computations. So in case we hit leave, we can compute the value of empty without any dependencies of something else. So we would do that by other means, like evaluating the actual component of the syntax tree itself. Yeah, so that was how we did the empty attribute for leaves. Whereas for the inner nodes, we would compute empty by checking the same attribute, this empty attribute, of all the children, and from that draw our conclusions about the value of the empty attribute of the current focused node. Yeah? And all the attribute systems that work that way, in all of those, the attributes that are compatible to that strategy we call synthesized attributes. Yeah, so this is a special word for depicting the way that you would have to evaluate the attribute systems that define these attributes. Yeah, there's two extremes, so to say, how an attribute is defined. The one that we had was synthesized. So let's bring that in more formal form. So an attribute n is called synthesized if its value is defined in terms of attributes of n's children and or n itself. You might wonder why n itself is a thing, while I don't say that you need to refer to the same kind of attribute. You could also formulate in terms of other attributes. Yeah. So, for example, in the first attribute computation, we had a referentiation of the empty attribute in there, in the dependencies. Yeah. So this was one of the examples where this plays a role. So in that sense, evaluation was done from leaves to root. Yeah. The other one that is kind of prominent is the inherited attribute. And it's inherited if its value is defined in terms of attributes of n's parents, yeah, the siblings, and or n itself. So siblings are like the neighbors of the same level, and n itself, again, doesn't make sense to do it with the same attribute of the same node, but with a different attribute of the same node. Yeah. And in this situation, we would do an evaluation starting from the root and going to the leaves. So when we recall how we defined that attribute equation system for the empty attribute, we would pay respect to the fact that we computed the attribute locally, usually specifying attribute equations for each node, and we would usually do so for each kind of node that there is. So the type of the node is playing a major role in that. In the example, we did that rather sketchily or intuitively, so to say. So this was like this very messy notation that we had here. Yeah. So this was the way that we did that for that particular algorithm, since we didn't have any formalizations for that. In general, what we do is that we generally can specify attribute systems with a particular formalism to back that up. And this formalism would be about referring to parents and children in a fixed way. So there's a particular notation for that. And that is usually done by, well, two components. First of all, you would have the component that would specify the attribute. And since in general attribute systems, we could talk about several attributes, these attributes have an index k that would speak about which attribute we want to address. And then there's this other component, which is a numerical index again. And in this time in square brackets, where if we talk about the zeroth index in square brackets, we would talk about the attribute of the current root node. Yeah, so zero indicates the root node. Yeah. Whereas when we talk about something non-zero, we would enumerate all the children from left to right, and the ith attribute corresponds to the ith child. Yeah? And we don't disambiguate between terminal symbols or non-terminals anymore. This index is in general about children, thus on symbols, which can be either non-terminals or terminals. Yeah? So even the terminals have a fixed index in this one. Yeah. So let's have a look at a reformulation of the example from before with our new notation. And this is a lot more compact now. So we have, for this notation, we have on the left-hand side the different kinds of root nodes. Yeah, so these are usually symbols of the underlying grammar, like this is a leaf in form of a character. This is the alternation operator, the multiplication operator, the repetition operator, and all that. Those different symbols specify the root node of the currently focused subtree. And then we can have a bunch of equalities. Yeah, that determine how attributes are, a bunch of attribute evaluations, equations that tell us about how to come up with values for particular parts of the attributes at that focused subtree. So the way that this works is that you specify on the left-hand side of this assignment operator the kind of attribute that you are talking about, and then the index of the part of the subtree for which you would want to give the evaluation. Yeah, so this talks about how the empty attribute of the root node in a terminal symbol subtree looks like. And terminal symbol subtrees usually are quite small, since they don't just exist in the root node and nothing else. But that doesn't matter, because the actual implementation of that works by, well, it's a local property that can be evaluated on the syntax tree itself. Yeah. Then another one, like this one here, would give you ways of computing the empty attribute of the root node of an alternation subtree by referring to, again, the empty attributes of children 1 and 2, meaning the left children and the right the left child and the right child. And in that way you can specify this whole attribute systems very concisely.